halacha in healthcare settings. Last year, we dealt with a lot of issues that were in Chilek Orachayim, but the early part of Chilek Orachayim in Shulchan Aruch, we talked about issues of, we talked about a lot of issues. We talked about davening issues for doctors. We talked about dealing with situations in which you need to make a bracha or to daven or whatever it is, and there's something smelly or whatever within the patient's room. We talked about, we talked about six different topics. I remember that there were six topics. Ultimately, we started on some of the Shabbos topics. Specifically, we dealt with Kiddush. We dealt with mitzvos asei, call it, of Shabbos, and decided that this year we would do mitzvos los asei. We're going to look at the prohibitions of Shabbos, the malachos of Shabbos. And for those who weren't here last year, we work in general with Rabbi Dr. Avram Sofer, Abraham's Nishmas Avram. And I just provide backup sources that explain the sugya, whatever the discussion is, and then we get into the Nishmas Avram. But here, we're going to get to his introduction to one particular siman in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim, Shin Chav Ches, which is the main one for discussions of medical care on Shabbos. But I figured in order to get to that, I would do just an overall introduction of medicine on Shabbos. Those who are online, I'm very happy for you to be visible. You shouldn't feel any obligation to not be visible. Not recording video, I do record audio, but that's it. So what we have, and I'll put the link in the chat again for the source sheet, is an introduction that will probably take us our first two sessions, maybe even the third, depending on how it goes, we'll see, to the basics of the issues in medical treatment on Shabbos. Normally, as I said in the email introducing this, the sources are just going to be all Hebrew. However, here the sources are Hebrew English because I took these from my medical treatment on Shabbos class at Stern and thought, you know what, leave in the English, fine. Those who don't like it, those who feel like it's beneath them, you can just skip it, ignore it. Just stick with the Hebrew if that makes you feel better about it. Okay, one last note before we get into it, and that is that November 18th, we won't have this shiur. Because instead I'll be doing a Zoom-only shiur at 7 o'clock on the topic of genetic intervention on Shabbos. So, not on Shabbos, you genetic. Halachic frontiers in genetic intervention, no Shabbos involved. Okay, so we start off with a basic principle. Pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbos, right? Saving lives overrides Shabbos. Shabbos is very, very important. Saving lives is very, very important. Pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbos. I brought you the Gemara in source number one from which we deduce that. The Gemara in Yuma Dav, Pehe Omer Alef, Pehe Omer Beis. Nishala She'ela Zu Bifnehem. There was a group of Chachamim, and the following question was asked before them. Minayin L'Bikuach Nefesh Edocha Es HaShabbos. How do we know that saving lives overrides Shabbos? So Rabbi Yishmael gives me the first answer. Rabbi Yishmael says, I have a pasuk. Im b'machteres imatzei haganav. The law in Parshas Mishpatim. Regarding breaking and entering, somebody breaks into someone's home. The rule is that the homeowner is able to kill the invader, the home invader. And the Gemara says, you know, you don't know that the home invader was necessarily a mortal threat. It could be that the home invader is there for money. And in the event that you were to say, stop thief, he would turn around and run. You don't know that he's actually a threat to life. And shedding someone's blood in an unjustified way is a terrible act. As the Gemara says, it's metame es haaretz, contaminates the land. It causes Hashem to leave Yisrael. And yet we say, you're allowed to do that. Nitan latzilo benafsho. You are allowed, I'm going to translate this one way. There are a few ways to translate the phrase. You are allowed to save yourself by killing the home invader. So if you're allowed to save yourself from a potential risk by killing somebody, how much more so you are allowed to override Shabbos in order to save somebody's life? That's the first approach in the Gemara. It's a little bit tortuous trying to work your way through it in terms of what his comparison is. And in the end, it's not what we hold halachically. That's not our source. But that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Elazar comes with a much simpler argument. Rabbi Elazar says, "Umam milah shi echol bimasayim v'arboim u'shmonei v'arm sheva adam dochas ha-shabbos." He says, "Bris milah is only about fixing one of the 248 evarim, body parts, in a man's body, and we do the bris, even though it's Shabbos. Kal v'chomer l'chol gufo shedochas ha-shabbos. How much more so then will we say saving the entire body overrides Shabbos?" That's not our winning argument either. Each one, there's a reason why it's not a winning argument. The third one, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Ve'es Shab Sosai Tishmoru. The Torah says, "You shall guard my Shabbatot," but it begins with the word Ach. Ach Es Shab Sosai Tishmoru. And the word Ach, literally only, is an excluding word. It teaches me that not all cases, that whatever it's about to say, doesn't apply in all cases. So when it says, "Guard my Shabbatot," that doesn't apply to all cases. There is a case in which you do not guard my Shabbatot. And where is that? That's the Pikuach Nefesh case. That's the third source. And again, also not the winning argument. The fourth one, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says, "Ki kodesh hi lachem," the Torah says Shabbos is holy for you. So the fact that Shabbos is holy for you indicates he misur biyadchem, it is given into your hands. Velo atem misurim biyada, you are not in the hands of Shabbos. That argument is also not the winning argument. The last two arguments are the ones that we use as halachic arguments. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh says, "Vishamru bnei Yisrael as haShabbos," the children of Israel shall guard Shabbos. Amra Torah, the Torah says, your value is guarding Shabbos. Well, chalel olav Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe. Desecrate one Shabbos for this person so that he will be able to observe many Shabbatot. That's the principle. Now, from that, one might have assumed that means that if you have somebody who is not Shabbos observant, so they're not going to come to observe many Shabbatot because you overrode this Shabbos. Maybe you make the argument that we don't violate Shabbos for them. So that's not true. There is the potential for future observance of Shabbatot, and that's good enough. And even if you're talking about somebody who has zero capacity, literally, you have somebody who is not a person of capacity. They could not observe mitzvos. Nonetheless, we still apply the principle of override one Shabbos so that he will have this future potential. That is a winning argument in the sense that there are various Gemaras where the principle of Chalel Shabbos Achas is brought. However, it's not the winning argument in our Gemara. The winning argument in our Gemara is the next line. Those first five approaches all came from Tanoim, from the Mishnah's time. Then, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shmuel, Iavoi Hasam Hava Amina. If I had been there, I would have given the following argument. Didia Difa Mididhu. My argument's better than theirs. The Torah says you shall live by them and not die by them. You're supposed to live by the mitzvos. You are not supposed to die by the mitzvos. And Rava says that is a good argument. I mentioned in a drasha last year that fundamentally, Chalel Shabbos Achas doesn't say we value human life. Chalel Shabbos Achas is a math approach. It's override this Shabbos, because that way you will enable many Shabbatot. So it's fundamentally saying 100 Shabboses are worth more than one Shabbos. It says nothing about the value of human life. Whereas the winning argument here, V'chai Bohem, says, Hashem is saying, I value your life more than I value Shabbos. It's a very different philosophical statement that V'chai Bohem makes. So that ends up being the winning argument. If you look in the Gemara there, you get a longer discussion in the sugya. I just wanted to bring that because we're talking about Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. So you should see the Gemara that says that Pikuach Nefesh overrides Shabbos. Now, overriding Shabbos goes beyond explicitly life-saving actions. Overriding Shabbos is not only you know, someone's in a fire and you pull them out of a fire, or, you know, inject them with something because they had an allergic reaction or whatever. It's not only that. It will apply, as we'll see here, to a broader set of cases. In order to get into those, just one preface. I need to explain a term that we're about to see. The term is makah shel chalal. Okay, makah shel chalal, as far as we are concerned, means an internal wound. Okay, the space inside the body. And the reason why this makah shel chalal is going to be very important is because you're talking about something that goes back, you know, in pre-modern times, one would not be able to diagnose properly a makah shel chalal, right? Before you have x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, whatever, how do you know what's going on inside of the patient? So a makah shel chalal is assumed to be dangerous automatically, you know, an injury that's going on inside. A modern circumstance could be somebody falls downstairs, hits their head, and loses consciousness, and I don't know if they have a concussion, if they have a hemorrhage. I have no idea. An elderly person falls and might have a break that threatens their broader health. And again, I don't have access to diagnostics to know. Those could qualify as makah shel chalal. So keep that in mind as you read source number 2 on the sheet from the Shulchan Aruch. Makah she'ena shel chalal. If someone has an injury that is not internal, so anybody can see it, you know, anybody knows what they're doing can see it. So the rule is nish'alin babaki ubechole. So we ask an expert and we also ask the patient. The idea of asking the patient is something we're going to have to come back to, not today, but further along. What exactly is the weight of a patient's statement about what their medical needs are? But right now, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, we ask the expert and we ask the patient. Ve'ein mechalan alav Shabbos ad shiyomar echad mehem shoot sarach lechilol. Oh, she'yai asa eitzel echad mehem sakonas nefashos. He says, we don't violate Shabbos unless one of them says it's necessary, one of them views it as a danger to life. That's when we're going to do it. I'm not focusing right now on the redundancy in that, you know, one of them says it's necessary, one of them views it as danger. We'll focus on that shortly. We're not there yet. But what I'm bringing here in terms of this line in the Shulchan Aruch is in the event that there is some kind of an injury where it is observable, you could figure it out. So we ask the expert, what should I do? Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, though. The Mishnah Berurah says, Sarich Lomar, Safek Sakanas Nefashos. He says, the end of source number 2, that says that we would override Shabbos if one of them says that it needs violation, or one of them decides that it's Sakanas Nefashos. The Mishnah Berurah says it shouldn't say one of them decides that it's sakanas nefashos. It's even if one of them decides it is safek sakanas nefashos. I believe the Mishnah Berurah is picking up on the redundancy in the Shulchan Aruch. Because otherwise, what does the line mean? You don't override Shabbos until one of them says it needs overriding or it's sakanas nefashos. Where else does it need overriding if not that it's sakanas nefashos? So it must be that it's talking about where one of them says it is safek sakanas nefashos. It is a possible, potential danger to life. Wrote Zalomar, de'afilu omrim rak shema yichbad olav hacholi v'yistakin namishari. Even if what they say is this could get worse and the person could be in danger, you are allowed to override Shabbos for them. V'zeu shesiyim ha-Rama, and he says the Rama actually finishes that line in the Shulchan Aruch by referring you to the laws of eating on Yom Kippur, where we say the same thing, right? We don't say just, okay, in the event that he's dying, he eats. We say, if you think that they might need it, then have the patient eat. So what this means for our purposes is, not only do we override Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, we override Shabbos for Safek Pikuach Nefesh. We're going to come back to that. We have more to say about that. But that's one very important point, is Safek Pikuach Nefesh overrides Shabbos. We are going to need to address a key question of what exactly Safek is. right? What is safek pikuach nefesh? Safek is a very big place. Lots of things are safek, right? Someone nowadays of normal health gets COVID. Is that safek pikuach nefesh? Well, it depends how you define the word safek, right? Does safek include 1% possibilities, 0.5% possibilities? Like, what is... So we're going to have to talk about what exactly constitutes safek. I see a question in the chat. Does the expert get greater deference than the patient? What if the expert says he's okay, but the patient feels otherwise? That's a great question. We're going to have to get to that. Josh in the room points out that this is the Yom Kippur discussion that where it comes up. We have a basic principle of lev yodei amaras nafsho, that the heart knows the bitterness of its spirit, indicating that there are things that we actually trust the patient to know about himself, herself, even where the doctor says, no, that's not necessary. Clearly, there are limits to that. We're going to get into that when we go into this discussion in depth. The Mishnah Berurah has a discussion about what you do if the patient says, I need a particular medication, and the doctor says, why? Right, you have a patient who says, you know, that they're experiencing chest pains and they have a heart history and therefore they need penicillin. And the doctor looks at him like, why? What was penicillin about? Are you really now going to trust the patient? Clearly not. But the question is, so where's the line? What do I trust the patient for and what don't I? So we're going to have to get into all that. It's a good question, Toby. Okay. So that was one point where I wanted to show that it's not just clear-cut, you know, explicitly life-saving actions. It's also where it is safek pikuach nefesh. Also, if we talk about non-pikuach nefesh care, or I shouldn't say non, but supportive care of somebody who is in a pikuach nefesh situation. So, for example, let's say you have somebody who is in a bona fide pikuach nefesh situation. Okay, the Friday afternoon they were taken to the hospital and they had a cardiac cath and they discovered that there's blockages and they need to actually go in and put in stents. Okay, this is a requirement. They're in a pikuach nefesh situation. There are a lot of things that they're going to do as part of standard care for that patient that are not directly life saving. They could eventually somehow involve that, but it's just standard of care for patients like that. So you put them in a bed, and you lift the head of the bed, and you do this, and you take vitals, and you know all sorts of things that you do that are not explicitly life-saving things. So here we have an interesting apparent contradiction in the Rambam, which leads us to an important halacha. Starting out with the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufchav Tesamid Aleph, source number 4. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Osin Medura Lachaya B'Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, that if you have a woman who gives birth, okay, and what we're talking about now is a woman who, let's just say a woman who gave birth. Let me not get into categories. Yeah, I actually printed for this week, so you can have a printed copy. You have a woman who gave birth, so we'll make a bonfire to heat up the room for that woman. Savor mina l'chaya in l'chol alo. B'mosach shamim in b'mosach hamalo. I might assume that you're telling me we make a bonfire on behalf of the woman who gave birth, but another chole I would not do it for. It's unique to the woman who gave birth. Not only that, it's only during the rainy season, during the winter time. That's when you would do it, not during the summer. Itmar, we learned, Amar Chibar Oven Amar Shmuel, Hikiz Dam Venitstanein, if somebody let blood and became cold, Osin Lo Medura, you make a bonfire for that person, Afilu Betkufas Tammuz, even in the summer. So I have two statements, both quoting Shmuel. One statement is, you make a bonfire for a woman who gave birth, and the other, we make a bonfire for the person who let blood. For the woman who gave birth, it didn't say which season, but that's the general statement. Now look in source number 5, please, at the Rambam. Look what the Rambam does with this. He says, Hilchos Shabbos, Osin medura l'chaya va'afilu bimos hachama, b'nei she'atzina kasha l'chaya harbe b'mekomos hakor. He says, we make a bonfire for a woman who gave birth, even during the summer, because being cold would be very bad for her, right? Aval ein osin medura lachol el hischamein ba, but no bonfire for a general patient. Okay, only for the woman who gave birth. Hikiz dam v'nitztanein. If somebody let blood and got cold, osin lo medura, we would make a bonfire for them. Afilu b'tikufas tamuz, even during the summertime. So the Rambam says, bonfire for a woman who gave birth, bonfire for the woman who for the person who let blood. However, the Rambam does not think that we do it for a chole, right? Right now, I haven't said anything. All I said is chole, right? The way the Rambam seems to read the Gemara is that first I brought the woman who gave birth, then I raised the question about a chole and said, well, what about a chole? And then I brought the person who let blood. It must be that you brought me another particular example of where we make a bonfire, because we don't do it for a chole, right? You gave me two specific examples, the woman who gave birth and the one who let blood, but not a chole in general. That seems to be the Rambam's position. No, that's fairly straightforward. That's the Rambam's view. That's not the problem. The problem is coming next. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf, Peidalad Amud Beis, source number 6. Mechamin chamin l'chola b'shabas bein l'hashkoso bein l'havroso. The Gemara in Yuma says, we heat up hot water for a chola on Shabbos, whether in order to have him drink it or whether to bathe the chola. Now, heating up hot water is a de'oraisa, right? Bishul, right? Just like lighting a fire is a de'oraisa. So, you're not letting me light a fire, but you are letting me heat up hot water. And the Rambam paskins that way. Look at source number 7. Umadlik and loas haner, umechav milafanav es haner. We light a candle for a chole. We extinguish a candle if it's bothering the chole. He wants to sleep. V'shochten lo, we shech for him. V'ofen umevashlen umechamen lochamen. We would bake for him. We would cook for him. We would heat up hot water for him. Bein lashkoso, bein lachitzas gufo. Whether the hot water is for him to drink, whether it is to wash him, just like we said in the Gemara in source number 6. Klolo shel davar shabbos legabei chole sheyesh bo sakana harei ukechol chol advarim shutzarech lahen. The rule is that Shabbos is considered to be like chol for anything that the patient needs. So says the Rambam. So now I don't understand. The Rambam said I don't make a bonfire, but the Rambam said that I do heat up hot water. Why? What would you say? Ah,
the difference between the Rambam.
Right. So Dr. Block, for those not in the room, it's Dr. Block over there, has the same answer as the Ravid. Take a look at source number 8. The Ravid says, "Aval ein osim medura l'chol eschamim ba." You don't make a bonfire. Amar Avram. He says, on the one hand, the Rambam says, no bonfires. On the other hand, the Gemara says, we heat up hot water. So the answer could be, sure, we heat up hot water. That's talking about somebody who's dangerously ill. That's a high-level illness. You know, we use the word chole too much. We need to differentiate and say, this one is a chole sheyesh bo sakana, this one is a chole sheyein bo sakana. That should be the way that we manage this. Right? That's the Ravid's answer. Straight answer. Look at the Magid Mishnah in source number 9. The Magid Mishnah tries to go a different route. Vani hayisi sabr lefarish. I would have thought to explain. Dechaya davka toch shiva ukmoshe kasavti lamala. That the woman who gave birth is specifically somebody in the first 7 days after giving birth, when we consider her a chola sheyesh bo sakana. V'chole l'das rabbeinu afilu yesh b'choli sakana, and the chole is also somebody who's dangerously ill. Still, he says, ein betzina sakana v'efshur b'begadim. However, cold isn't dangerous. All you have to do is wrap him in clothing. Who needs a bonfire? You don't make a bonfire on Shabbos. Just wrap them up in their clothing, and that's it. Whereas mechamel nochamen, we heat up hot water. Milsach risa, that's a different story. Ve'en doma la'asiyas medura. That's not like making a bonfire. Why? Because drinking hot water has benefits that you can't mimic by wrapping a person in blankets. It's a different story. It's a different type of treatment. So the Magid Mishnah says, I would have given you a different explanation. The Ravid's explanation is interesting, that these are two different types of cholim, but I actually would argue that no, they're both cholah sheyesh bo sakana. The person is dangerously ill. Then why am I making a bonfire? Why am I, making hot water but not making a bonfire? Because you don't really need the bonfire. So, but you notice his language, right? He says, I would have said. He's not actually going to say that. Why not? Look at his last line. That's the important line. That's what I wanted to get to. Aval ani mevatel daiti mipnei daito. He says, I back down against the Ravid here. Lefi she'im hu sheyesh bo sakana. Because if the person is dangerously ill, hamashma delachol tzirachav mechalalin, ve'af alpi she'in b'minias davar she'osin lo sakana. We do whatever his needs are, even if not doing it would not be dangerous. Even if I have an alternative way to heat up this patient or to preserve the body heat of the patient, nonetheless, the way I treat this patient is with a fire. I will do that every time out. I'm not going to say, well, don't do a fire. We could just wrap him up in blankets. No. This is the way you take care of a chol sheyesh bo sakana, whether it's Tuesday, whether it is Shabbos. That's the idea. Everyone clear? Good in the room? Good on the Zoom? Okay. The Ramban codifies this in his Taras HaAdam. I think I quoted Taras HaAdam a few times last year, but I'm not sure I did. So just in case anyone isn't aware, this is one of the most important halachic works on medicine. The Taras HaAdam, you know, if you learn Shulchan Aruch Yoredei, the end of Yoredei, it takes you through Bikur Cholim, and then what happens when someone passes away, and Nicham Avelim. So that's built on the Ramban's order in Taras HaAdam, where he deals with all of those issues. And the Ramban in Taras HaAdam, is specifically this area, Shaar HaMechush, talks about what we do for people who are ill. So look at what he says in number 10. Maka shechalal de'amrinan eina tzvicha omed. When we talk about an internal injury, and we say, we don't need to evaluate it. We just do whatever we can for this patient. Lomar shafilu ein sham bikiyin, even if there are no experts. V'chol enamiyeno omer klum, and the patient isn't saying anything. Osim lo kol sheregilim lasos lo b'chol imachalim urefuos shein yafen l'chola. We do whatever we would do on Tuesday. Whatever it is, whatever foods they need, whatever treatments they need. Umachal and Shabbos ve'enish alim klal. We override Shabbos. We don't ask shilos. Aval now he adds an important caveat. Aval kisheyodin umakirin ba'oso choli shu mamtin ve'en sarach chilul vaday aser la'asoslo. If we know that he doesn't need X, then we're not going to do it just because that's on the list of things that they taught us in medical school. Then we're not doing it. So if you have clear cut knowledge that this isn't necessary, so fine, so don't do it. But otherwise, you follow the normal protocol for treating the patient. And that gets quoted in the Shulchan Aruch almost verbatim in source number 11.
And just your comment on how you know what halal is, I mean, do you look for it? If someone has urine that has, for example, bilirubin in it,
now, maka shel chalal is a term that we use to refer to where we know something is wrong and we don't have diagnostics for it. It's not where I can test. I know that there's a problem. I saw somebody fall down the steps and hit his head.
Uh-huh.
So I know something's wrong, but I have no way to evaluate it. You know? More relevant in our day for a layperson, you know, than for a doctor. You know, I wouldn't know how to administer a concussion protocol. I've seen it in football games, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'll ask them, what day is it? Do you feel nauseous? Okay. If you take a look at number 11, the Shulchan Aruch, Maka shalchalol eina tzvicha omed. If you're talking about an internal injury, it does not require evaluation. Afilu ein sham bekiyin. It's almost word for word, the Ramban, right? There are no experts. The patient isn't saying anything. We do whatever we would normally do during the week. But if we know that he can wait and no overriding of Shabbos is required, then you're not allowed to violate Shabbos, even if it is a makashal chalal. And then you see it in the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12. Kol shebarur she'em b'minias oso davar chashash sakana, if it is clear that withholding this care will not endanger the patient, avapi shamikomakom tzarech hulo regilin lasos lo, even if he needs it and it's normally done, ein osin oso b'shabbos. We will not do that on Shabbos for the patient. Elai de eno Yehudi will do it via non-Jew, like Cholish Embo Sakana, which we have to come back to. We're not ready for that just yet. Okay. Clear so far? I'm going quickly because this is all just meant to lay the groundwork for when we see it in the Nishmas Avraham, and I want these things to be familiar. But I am doing it a little bit quickly. Important principle to be aware of. The issue of hutra versus dechuya. Hutra comes from the word mutar, meaning allowed, permitted, correct. Dechuya means
pushed aside, pushed off.
And the question is this. When we talk about overriding Shabbos in order to save lives, there are two ways I can look at it. One way to look at it is, everything is mutter. It's as though it's Tuesday. Forget Shabbos altogether. Do whatever you do. The other way to look at it is dechuya. Shabbos is pushed off, but it is still Shabbos. And I should try to preserve it to the extent I can. Now, we're going to see what this means, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is not really about what I'm willing to do for a patient on Shabbos. This is more about what I'm willing to do for a patient before Shabbos. And what I mean by that is, when we get further into discussions about what we actually do on Shabbos, when we get into the Nishmas Avraham, when we see more than just the sources we're going to see right now, we're going to come to the realization that we never want to take a risk of stinting on care for the patient by trying to preserve Shabbos. So I'll give you one example, which we're not going to get into right now. Okay, God forbid, we're standing in the lobby in Shul, and somebody collapses. Call 911, right? Call Hatzalah, call whatever number you're calling. There's a custodian standing right outside. There's the armed guard standing right outside, right? Do I ask the guard to call 911, or do I do it myself?
Do it yourself.
Every time out. That's exactly right. You don't. But we're going to say Shabbos is dechuya. It's pushed off. So maybe we should say ask the non-Jew. Why am I not asking the non-Jew?
Because you don't know the situation.
Nah, there are two concerns. Concern number one is, if I ask the non-Jew to make the phone call, the non-Jew thinks to himself, why are they asking me? Clearly it's not that urgent, or they would have just made the phone call themselves. And therefore he's not going to be so rapid about doing it. Or alternatively, even though right now the non-Jew is 10 feet away, and therefore there is no cost to doing it, someone who sees what's going on, who isn't that sophisticated halachically, might think, oh, you're not allowed to make the phone call yourself. You have to get a non-Jew. And then, God forbid, the next time this happens, and there is no non-Jew on the scene, they're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts across the street to find a non-Jew to make the phone call. So what I'm getting at is, even within the view that Shabbos is dechuya, which is the view we're going to take, we don't actually reduce what we do, in most cases, on behalf of the patient. It's much more about, what do I do in advance to try to avoid violation of Shabbos if I anticipate that there is going to be a need?
I don't think of it that way.
Yeah?
I don't think of it as, let me not violate Shabbos. The first thing is, let me save him as fast as I can.
But we're going to see dechuya. But we will see dechuya. Like, it's going to be so. I'll give you an application. This is a classic application. You have a woman who is getting towards the end of her ninth month, and Shabbos is coming. So do they make arrangements such that if she goes into labor, the neighbor who's not Jewish can take them to the hospital, or make sure that her papers are in the car, or all sorts of things you can do to prepare the vehicle for Shabbos. If I say Shabbos is hutra, then once she goes into labor, you just do whatever you need to do. It's all mutter. If I say Shabbos is dechuya, then I should try to prepare the car in advance so that come Shabbos, she has to go to the hospital, I will have minimized my violation of Shabbos. So take a look at this in the Rishonim. Take a look at source number 13. The view of Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, is that Shabbos is in fact hutra. He says, Kevan de HaTorah hitira lanu ochal nefesh biyom tov. Hava lididan kol ochal nefesh biyom tov kamo b'chol. He gives you a very interesting analogy. He says, when it comes to Yom Tov, did anybody ever say, well, I have a three-day Yom Tov, right? So, you know, it's a lot of cooking. Let me just, you know, cook on Thursday. Thursday is the first day of Yom Tov. I'm going to cook on Thursday for the Yom Tov meals that are on Thursday. I'm not talking about preparing from one day to the next, Erev Tavshil, and I'm not going into that. But did anybody ever say, well, I really shouldn't cook my Yom Tov meal on Thursday? No. It's mutter to cook your Yom Tov meal on Thursday. It's 100% fine to cook your Yom Tov meal on Thursday. We allow Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. It is mutter. He says the same thing is true for overriding Shabbos to save a life. V'hachinami kevan shi tira Torah bikuach nefesh havi kol malacha sha'osa b'Shabbos b'shvilchola shi'yesh bo sakana ki'ilu asaha b'chol. Since the Torah permits you to save lives on Shabbos, anything you do is as though you did it during the week. It is just as mutter as Ochel Nefesh is on Yom Tov. Not that Ochel Nefesh is a proof of anything. It's not like he's saying, well, Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov is mutter, therefore Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is mutter. There's no analogy here. He's simply saying it's the same model of these actions that normally would have been Aser, for this purpose are mutter. That's all he's saying. That's the Rush's position. However, everybody else, basically, in the Rishonim is on a different page. Not everybody, but enough of them. The Rambam, source number 14, is explicit. Dechuya hi Shabbos etzel sakonas nefashos kishar kol mitzvos. Shabbos is dechuya, is pushed off in order to save lives, as are all mitzvos. Now, the Rambam, of course, does not give you his source, because that's not what the Rambam does. He's not interested in giving you his source. Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Kesef Mishnah usually gives you the Rambam source, but here he gives us an analogous case instead. Source number 15. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam quotes you a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Zayin. The Perakei Tzatzolot Iflagu Tanoi Tuma Im Dechuya Hi Betzibur O Hutra. There's a debate in the Gemara in Pesachim. We say that communal karbanos are brought, even if the community is majority tame. Because tuma hutra betzibur. Tuma is, well, hutra or dechuya betzibur. Tuma is overridden for the sake of the community's karban. And he says, umashma b'gemara, da halacha kamanda amar dechuyahi. The Gemara seems to say that it is dechuya, that tuma is pushed off. It's not mutter. If I had a kohen who was Tahor, I would use the Kohen who was Tahor. V'chein pasach Rabbeinu, and he says, that's the Rambam's ruling. Umashma, dechihechi de'iflegu betuma, hachinami iflegu b'shabbos legabei cholem, hi dechuya au hutra. And he says, those are parallel debates. It's a parallel debate. Not that you can prove one from the other. There's no proof from tuma dechuya betzibur to say that, and also, pikuach nefesh is, you know, Shabbos is dechuya for pikuach nefesh. But he says, they're analogous. And he says, "V'kachas of Harashba v'Haran, Shashabes dechuya hi eitz achola v'lo hutra." That's what the Rashba writes. That's what the Ran writes. The Rashba is a great tshuva, but I didn't want to go into it here because I don't want to get sidetracked. But it's a very interesting tshuva. His question is: you have to remember, medicine back in the old days was a lot more fun than medicine it is today. Right? My apologies to all the doctors on the Zoom, the doctors who are here in the room. But medicine used to be a lot more fun. Right? In the days of the Gemara, and even in the days of the Rishonim, a person got sick, the doctor might say to him, yeah, you need a hamburger. That was medicine. So
you might very well be right.
It must have worked for somebody. They were iron deficient. They were all iron deficient.
The microbiome, it may be the answer to the whole question of life.
Ooh. Okay. In the room, we get a microbiome comment. Okay. I am not going there. The point simply being that the Rashba has a tshuva asking the following question. Let's say you prescribed a burger for a patient. The patient, there's no kosher meat available. There's no shechted meat available. There is nevela. There's non-shechted meat available. Do you shecht in order to provide the patient with kosher meat? Or do you say, no, Shabbos is dechuya, it's pushed off, but it's still there as a thing, and therefore I have no justification to do shechita. Let him eat the nevela instead. So in the course of that tshuva, it emerges that the Rashba believes that Shabbos is dechuya. It's a fun tshuva. The Baal HaMa'or, Rav Zrachya HaLevi, another key Rishon, says that Shabbos is dechuya, and he brings you a basis for it. Gemara in Shabbos Yitessam et Aleph, source number 16. This is a very controversial Gemara, which we're not going to do in depth, but I want to bring you enough to see how it's relevant here. Tana Rabbanan, Ein mafligin besvina pachos mishloshe yamim kodem l'Shabbos. You don't get on a boat to go on a trip within 3 days of Shabbos. There's a machlokas as to whether that means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday. That's unclear. But the Bryce says no getting on the boat within 3 days of Shabbos. When is that true? Lidvar harishus. If you're going for an optional trip, avol dvar mitzvah shapir dami. For a mitzvah purpose, that's a different story. Then you may. Uposik imu amenas lishbos. Veino shoveis divrei Rebbe. And Rebbe says you have to arrange with the boat to stop for Shabbos, even if he doesn't end up stopping. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel amar eino tzarach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you don't need to do that. Umitzur letzidon, and for a very short trip, from one port in Lebanon to another, afilu be'erev Shabbos mutter. Even on Friday, you're allowed to do it. So the Gemara says you're not supposed to get on the boat within 3 days of Shabbos. There are different reasons given for why you're not supposed to get on the boat. So, for example, one classic explanation is because you get seasick. You need time to adjust to the boat, and otherwise you have problems with your own Shabbos. But that's not how the Baal HaMor explains it. If you look at source number 17, he says, Kol shlosh yom kodem Shabbos kame Shabbos mikri. The 3 days before Shabbos are called before Shabbos. They're like part of Shabbos. Venira kemasna litchos es haShabbos. Somebody who gets on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos looks like he is stipulating, I'm going to break Shabbos. Mivnei she'ein davar she'omed bifnei pikuach nefesh. Because nothing stands in the way of saving a life. And what he's saying is, we're afraid that you're going to get on the boat, a storm comes up, something happens to the boat, and now you're going to need to break Shabbos in order to survive. That's what we are afraid of. So therefore, don't get on the boat within 3 days of Shabbos, because you are setting yourself up to violate Shabbos, and you're not supposed to do that, taking the position that Shabbos is dechuya. Now, the inevitable question is, why only 3 days? That's a longer discussion. I'm not going there right now. It'll take us too far afield. But that's the position of the Baal HaMa'or, that Shabbos is dechuya for pikuach nefesh. You have to try to preserve it, and therefore you don't get on the boat. The simple answer for why only 3 days, like the simplest answer without going into the entire debate, is because of something I said to you before, that we need to establish a limit to suffolk, right? When I was pointing out that suffolk pikuach nefesh can count anything as suffolk pikuach nefesh, you know, like where's your limit, right? I gave a midterm today at Stern in my medical treatment on Shabbos class, and so part of the midterm was questions like, here's the scenario: what level of illness is this, and what are you justified in doing, you know, for it? So I gave a case of an 11-year-old girl has an upset stomach that keeps her in the washroom all day. What's her status? So that's the question. What is it, right? So one of the students answered, well, if I don't know why she has an upset stomach, maybe I should call that safek pikuach nefesh. Like, you can expand. He's not getting points for that, but you can expand. I'll give something. But you can expand safek pikuach nefesh to be really, really broad. The same thing is true regarding the boat. Meaning, if you're going to tell me I have to worry when I get on a boat that something could happen on Shabbos, so basically what you're saying to me is you can never get on a boat where you're going to end up needing to go on Shabbos. No trips of more than X number of days. That's what you're trying to tell me. So we're capping it and saying there's a certain point where Suffolk has to stop. So in any case, we paskin like the majority of the Rishonim that Shabbos is in fact dechuya, so that the Shulchan Aruch in source number 18 brings the boat as an example, but never at the expense of saving lives. If you take a look at source number 19, this was a great find for me. I always tell people if you're going someplace where you haven't been before, make sure you stop in at the shul and look in the shul library, because you find Svarim, you know, just randomly that end up somewhere. And then you take them home. But you come across things. This goes back quite a few years, but I was in Pittsburgh for something, and I walk into the library in the shul, and I saw this book which I had never heard of, number 19, Rabbi Mechel Handler, the Madrich Lechevra Hatzalah, Guidelines for Hatzalah. So a lot of it influenced by Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think he was a Talmud of Rav Moshe. Perhaps he must be alive. I don't want to say was. But he writes the following. Even when the use of shinuyim, doing things in an unusual way, would not cause delay in treating a chole sheyesh bo sakana or a suffek misukan, treating somebody who is dangerously ill or might be dangerously ill, nevertheless, according to some poskim, it is still forbidden to use shinuyim while treating them on Shabbos. You still shouldn't do it in an unusual way. Chazal were concerned lest the lay public be misled into thinking that in situations of pikuach nefesh, one is obligated to make attempts to minimize the malacha while treating a cholam misukan, just like the point I made about asking a non-Jew. Right? People are going to think that that's what they're supposed to do now. In practice, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman both ruled that Hatzalah members should not utilize shinuyim or any other forms of hakal hakal tchila, trying to minimize the violation of Shabbos when treating a cholam misukan, even when the member is convinced that time is not of the essence and patient care will not be compromised. Since we are dealing with a halachically classified chole sheyesh bo sakana or a suffek misukan, we are concerned the rescuer may err in assuming he has time to utilize shinuyim and thereby jeopardize a life. It's not just about onlookers, it's about the rescuer making the mistake. I should note also, I didn't bring it on the sheet, Rabbi J. David Bleich, in an article in Tradition in 2008, the article is called Blood Sugar Tests. It's Tradition, volume year 41, number 4, brings a view that derabbanans are actually entirely mutter on Shabbos. That Shabbos is dechuya for deoraisas, but it's actually hutra for derabbanans. Which means once you use a shinua, you have no need to minimize anything because you've now knocked it down to a derabbanan. Okay. Good so far? Everyone online okay? Don't mind the rapid pace, all right? Okay. So that brings us to a well-known but not always well-understood gezerah, a rabbinic decree that you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. We know, we've said, that prohibitions of Shabbos are overridden in order to save lives. We're going to have to discuss which types of needs justify that. But what we're going to see here is that there is a rabbinic decree against taking medication on Shabbos, lest it lead you to grind ingredients to make medicine. That's the principle. If you take a look at source number 20, you see a Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos along these lines. Kol ha'ochlin, ochel adam l'refuah, v'chol ha'mashkin shoseh. You're allowed to eat any food, any normal food, even if you're eating it for medicinal purposes. So the example I always bring, doctor says you're short potassium, so you should have a banana every day. So you're allowed to eat the banana on Shabbos. Even though to you, the banana is medication, to everybody else, bananas are food. Now, the truth is, in a lot of what we talk about here, there is a blurry line. And that is because the way we conceptualize food and the way we conceptualize medicine has changed since the times of the Gemara. We have things that people call medication that are just supplying nutrients, which is exactly what food does. Mm-hmm. You know, like we our system of classification has changed, and that's going to become an issue later on. But Right now, what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Mishnah is telling us, it will be Shulchan Aruch, but the Mishnah is telling us is that you are allowed to eat food on Shabbos, even if you are eating it for medical purposes. V'chol mashkin shosa, and so too anything you drink. Chutz mimei dekalim v'kos ikarim, except for what's called palm water, water with some kind of a palm fiber in it or something, or a cup of roots, mibnei shehen liyiroka, because these are things that people take for jaundice. These are not really foods. This is something that people use medicinally. Avol shosa who made the kolon litzma'o, visach shemen ikarin shalol l'refua. However, if you are healthy, then you're allowed to have the palm water. This is something we have to come back to. We're not there right now. But the decree against taking medicine on Shabbos does not apply to people who are healthy. So, I mean, you look at it and say, well, why would I take medicine if I'm healthy? But the example here is something that people took medicinally if they had certain issues, but they also drank it because they were thirsty. So that's your example. Finally, hachoshesh b'shinav, if you have a toothache, lo yigamea ben es hachometz, we don't want you to gargle with vinegar. That's medicinal. But you could get vinegar into your mouth. Metabel hu kidarko. You can dip your stuff in it, dip your food in it, dip your bread in it. Normally, vim nisrape nisrape. And if you get better, then you get better. So example of that, I'm not recommending this, but back in the day when I was a little kid, you know, the treatment was for a canker sore in your mouth. That would not be fun. Sorry? Wow, not in my day. No, so people who had a canker sore in their mouth, they would give them like brandy or bourbon or something like that. Like take a Q-tip, get a little bit of this alcoholic stuff, and put it on the spot, and it would numb it.
That's your toothache.
Toothache. All right, that's. But you can't do that right on Shabbos because that's medicinal. So what would you do? Then gargle it. That's all. Yeah. You know, gargle it. This is not medical prescription. To be 100% clear, I never gargled that as a kid. Just make sure that's 100% clear there. Then we create problems. But the point in source number 20 is that if it's normal food for healthy people, then you're fine. However, if it's a medicinal thing, then it's no good. Source number 21 makes it more explicit and gives us the gezeira. We're told that if there is an animal, behema she'achaza dam, if an animal is, quote, gripped by blood, and what that condition is, I am not clear on. Ein ma'amidin osa b'mayim b'shvil she'titztanein. You don't let it stand in water in order to cool it off. Adam she'achaza dam, ma'amidin osa b'mayim b'shvil she'titztanein. But for a person, that person could stand in water. I'm not getting into the animal versus person, tzar balei chayim, not getting into that right now. Omar Ula. Ula says the issue with having the animal stand in water is gezera mishum shchika sammanim. We are concerned lest we grind ingredients. The whole thing about animals is a whole other discussion. I'm not going there right now. But the Rambam brings this gezera. This is a decree. Don't take medicine on Shabbos lest you end up grinding. So he writes, b'machtesh eschayv neshu tochin, crushing peppers in a mortar is liable for grinding. Lefichach asur lebari lehisrapos b'shabbos gizera shema yishchok sammanim. We don't want healthy people being treated on Shabbos. It doesn't mean literally a healthy person. But we don't want to give medical treatment on Shabbos because of the concern that it will bring people to grind. That's our consideration. So we'll have to talk about it. We're not there yet. That's a whole discussion. That's not a quick answer. So in terms of what we're worried about with Shrika Samamanim, what exactly is it that we're concerned is going to happen? So if you take a look at source 23, Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara says, Amar Mar Okfar Mar Shmuel, Shora Adam Kiloran Meir of Shabbos, V'nosin Agav Enav B'Shabbos, V'eno Choshesh. He gives you what will end up being a workaround for this gezera. He says, if you have an eye wash that you want to use, it was called Kiloran. What you do is you prepare it before Shabbos, and you can put it on your eye on Shabbos. Why is it okay, the fact that you prepared it before Shabbos? Rashi explains in source number 24. He says, Kevin da'atzrechu l'shrosa me'erev Shabbos ike hekerev aleka l'migzar. He says, since they required you to soak it before Shabbos, you're not going to make a mistake and come to grind stuff on Shabbos because they made you prepare it beforehand. Uman dechazinhu, and a person who sees you do it, the person who sees it thinks that you're just washing your eyes out with wine, because that's a thing. So therefore, there's no concern for confusion. This follows the view that the reason why we don't take medicine on Shabbos is lest you think that you can grind things up on Shabbos. That's one view. The other view is the view of the Tzitz Eliezer. We're going to wrap up soon. The other view is the view of the Tzitz Eliezer in source number 25, which I'll just say outside so we can wrap up before Mara starts here. But the Tzitz Eliezer brings the other idea, which is concern for desperation. In the event that you tell people that they're allowed to take medicine as long as they have it, someone is not feeling well and says they want to take the medicine, and then they look at their supply and they don't have enough, the concern is that then they may grind in order to be able to get to get medicine. The concern is desperation. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer deals with the question that everybody always asks when you get to this, which is, but I wouldn't be able to grind medicine even if I had all the ingredients in front of me, right? If I needed acetaminophen and you told me, here, this is a block of acetaminophen, just prepare your dose, I wouldn't know what I was doing. So that's where we'll begin, God willing. Next time will be the discussion of why this applies today, and then we'll go through the levels of chola, all as a means of introducing that nishmas avram. Okay. Shkayach. Thank you. Thank you, everybody online.